Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Live at Titans training camp, Chase Willie and D-Mace, 12 o'clock hour. Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, and Derek Mason. We tried to get D-Mace to try out, but I don't think it's going to happen.
Nah,
I was hoping. I just want to see you catch one pass from Tannehill.
I mean, I catch it, but.
With defenders on the field or just, you know.
I want to see you go one-on-one with, this is good. Who do I want you to go one-on-one with? Christian Fulton.
I go one-on-one with
you
all
and Fulton.
But you got to let me stretch. Let me get a few.
Get stretched. One-on-one.
You know, acclimated to the field again.
And I want to make this happen.
If we go one-on-one 10 times, yeah, I would beat him at least 7.
I'm going to ask J-Rob tomorrow if we can make this happen.
I beat him at least 7.
That would be a made-for-TV/radio event.
Oh, it'd be awesome.
I play the Z, so which means I'm off the ball, so he can't sit up there and try to jam me. But I would welcome the jam. I still got to.
You're
I
not shying away
yeah,
from the jam.
I ain't shying away from it. No.
I just want to see, like,
give me a helmet
after, like,
show
the third or fourth route, like, they start chirping at each other.
I keep going.
Would you have to pace yourself for 10 reps? Right, like,
let's ask Teron. I want to ask Teron. Mason, one-on-one with Fulton.
We're going 10 reps.
Right now? 10 reps.
Oh, yeah, you got to give me a minute to stretch and get acclimated to the field.
I mean, like, modern-day Mason?
No, now.
Now. Like, right now.
I'm telling you right now. Hey, listen. I'm telling you right now, I would beat him 7 out of 10 times.
7 out of 10?
Yes, 7 out of 10 times.
He says 4.
Okay, 4. 48.
Give him the mic.
Okay, yeah.
I'm 48 years old. I still can stop and go. I still run some routes every now and then.
This is the thing, and I know from experience.
Uh-huh.
Now, I never was at your level.
Uh-huh.
I'm 46, and I know that the relay, the thought process of, hey, I'm going to throttle down, chop my feet, and then accelerate, I know that relay there is not as
from the brain to the legs.
That's the issue.
I get ready to stop. I can't stop.
You get down in that break. You get low. You can't always get back up as quickly. So that's my only issue.
Hey, you got a point there.
At least there's still a relay. I think my body at 51, I'm dropping the baton.
It's a relay.
Yeah, it's a disconnect. It's over.
I told him, I said, I want to see you catch like one route, one pass from Tannehill, just like old times. And then Willie goes, defended or not defended? And that's where that came from.
Yeah, well, you know, got to get a good chiropractor. It'll keep you in shape.
Hey, man, just need to.
Just 10
thing,
reps. All we're asking is 10
stretch my hamstrings and my Achilles. That's it.
Yeah.
If I stretch my hamstrings and Achilles.
Especially.
Yeah.
Don't want you out there running like there's a sniper up there. Gotcha. You know how that goes.
All right, TD, thank you so much.
Yep,
appreciate
sure.
your input.
All right.
Teron Davenport, Talking with TD is the podcast. Yeah, he's headed to do that right now, I would
absolutely.
Imagine. Get ready to go. Well, for that, Caroline's going to stop over in just a second. We'll hear a little bit more of what Mike Vrabel, Ryan Tannehill had to say as she's making her way over here in a second. But, you know, we kid. You were talking about the corners earlier,
uh-huh.
And I actually do feel pretty good about the corners. So I think that this cornerback group, and obviously Caleb Farley is going to be a huge part of it, but I feel better about him. I'm not as concerned about the corners.
My concern is not that they can't play, because they've proven that they can play. It's just, you know, with the influx of all of these really good receivers and tight ends, and then the depth of the cornerback position, that's what I'm worried about. You know, have they logged in enough hours, so to speak? And then if one of these guys get hurt, you know, especially now, you don't have the necessary depth to say, hey, listen, we can throw this guy in and we feel comfortable in what we're doing. That's my concern is the depth and inexperience of this secondary, because I don't think anyone, at least the starting two or three, if you look at them, no one has over, what, 3 years of experience, two, yeah. 3 years of experience. So this is a young secondary, but they benefit from having Jeffrey Simmons, DeNico Autry, Harold Landry, and Bud Dupree on that front, up front. It helps them get to the passer, which means I don't have to cover as long.
They don't have the Jackrabbit Jenkins.
Exactly.
They don't have the Malcolm Butler, that sort of veteran that you lean
on. Screen, just retired.
Even those guys.
So, you know, it's always good to have a veteran guy in that secondary.
Caroline Fenton is with us from Stillman & Company, featuring Caroline Fenton, weekdays from 2 to 6 here on 102.5 The Game is Jared Wall. Jared's got the sweat towel going. Like, come on, man.
Does he have on his tight blue suit?
Also, I don't think we talk enough about how blue. Jared looks like Johnny Titan.
He does look like Johnny Titan.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he would be giving everyone else hell for wearing that.
No,
outfit.
Homer.
Because he's standing there going, J-Rob! Hey, J-Rob,
John,
it's me!
John, I can play in the offensive line if you need me. It's me, Jared. You know
fan
me.
Fanboy.
Yeah, fanboy Stillman. He's two-tone blue.
I was reading some of the quotes from Mike Vrabel earlier today, and he mentioned, you know, the offseason awards. But Dylan Radins, Des Fitzpatrick, Caleb Farley, all on that list, which, you know, offseason awards at the end of the day don't mean a whole lot. But the fact that he's talking positively about those guys and they were here doing the work, that does make me feel pretty good.
And I think the thing about offseason awards is it at least gives us a glimpse behind the curtain of what's been going on in that room since we haven't been here in this, you know, 6 to 8 weeks since we haven't been to minicamp. And I think hearing Dylan Radin's name was very interesting to me, because we hear all the time, you know, he doesn't have the desire to win that job. And I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that Dylan Radin's has kind of been in there grinding. But the name that really sticks out to me is Des Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
That's a guy in training camp last year that really didn't wow me in any way. And a guy going into this season that I mean, this is a stacked wide receiver room. And, it, you know, I don't know if he's going to be one of the, let's say, six guys that's going to be on that roster come, you know, the Giants game. But the more and more that I see from Des Fitzpatrick, the more and more I hear from Mike Vrabel about Des Fitzpatrick, he looks way more physical. He looks way more confident out there. And they believe in him. They've been name-dropping Des Fitzpatrick the past couple of days. So I think Des Fitzpatrick is one that is going to be really interesting to look at.
Yeah, I mean, because this receiver battle is
It's a competitive receiver room.
Yeah.
It absolutely is.
Treylon Burks talked today, took some accountability for, you know, his offseason conditioning, which that impressed me. I like hearing a guy take accountability. He seems like a character guy, and hopefully all that translates on the field as well.
Yeah, I think the biggest thing with Treylon Burks, you know, he talked about his asthma and how he came into rookie minicamp. Maybe he wasn't doing the things that he needed to do, transitioning into taking an inhaler before for practice. That, to me, doesn't really – that's not kind of a non-starter, in my opinion. It's more so his physicality. Because what I saw from him today versus what we saw from him, you know, early in rookie minicamp and voluntary OTAs was he looks thinner. He looks leaner. He looks more explosive. I saw him in voluntary minicamp, and he just looked lethargic. He looked sluggish. He was sitting himself out of drills because I don't know what the issue was. He looks leaner. He looks way more aggressive. I mean, we all saw that first catch in practice. I mean, he had a diving catch. It was a great catch. So what I saw from Treylon Burks is not just the accountability about the asthma. It was more so I could tell that he was taking accountability in the offseason because I can see it with my own eyes.
Now, Carolyn, obviously they were not in pads today, and I'm not sure if they're going to be in pads tomorrow. But are you truly looking forward to that? Because that's my thing. It's great to see these young men run around and in shorts and helmets, catch passes. Guys can't touch you, but once you get on the pads, then I can get a true barometer of who you are as a player.
And that's the difficult thing about training camp is you see all these crazy plays, and I also have to think in the back of my mind, would that be a play that was made if you were wearing pads and if there was a defender coming at you 100%? It's nice to see, you know, physically how they look. It's nice to see, you know, the technique on the field, because those are things that are going to exist whether you have pads on or not. But I'm excited to see with the pads on, does Treylon Burks make that catch? I'm excited to see, with the pads on, can the offensive line protect Ryan Tannehill? So it's little things like that. It's fun to watch in training camp, and it's also difficult to see, you know, was that a bad throw by the quarterback, or was that a really great play by the corner? In training camp, you don't really know, when you can't really tell. It's kind of everything's all good in training camp. So I'm excited to see, when the pads come on, are those same plays going to be made? And also, who sticks out both positively and negatively once those pads are on and once you're going 100%.
Now, did you see anything good from Malik Willis? I saw him complete a short in route right on the button, you know, to the guy. I think it was McMath. 13, because he changed his number.
Yeah.
Completed right there. Short in route, caught in his stride, and then got up the field. So have you seen anything else good from Willis?
I think a lot of things that I was concerned about with Malik Willis was more so his command of being under center, because I look at his time at Liberty, it was one-word play calls. It was a very simplistic offense. So I was worried about, can Malik Willis make that transition into much more sophisticated plays and much longer play? You're doing 12-word play calls there. And that was something that I asked Mike Vrabel, you know, how has he developed until now, and how do you want to see him continue to develop? And he said it's taking those mental reps and getting himself more acclimated into having that command under center. So he's been making those developments. I think that the accuracy is something that I've seen. It's something that Mike Vrabel pointed out, that Malik Willis just needs to fine-tune. But to me, I think getting the understanding of being a play caller and having command, that's the bigger thing, because the technicality will come.
Exactly.
Yep, and it's no hurry. We're talking to Caroline Fenton. You'll hear her a lot this afternoon with Jarrett, starting at 2 o'clock. Give us your early take. We touched on Raidens. Mm-hmm. Would you consider him a big favorite to start that right tackle spot? Is it his to lose, or do you think we'll hear more about the competition there, plus at left guard?
If it's his, I don't know if I would necessarily say it's his to lose, but if I had to put $100 on the table today for who I think is going to be lining up at right tackle, I think it's Dylan Raidens. I can't divulge a ton of information of what we saw, but that's probably my choice at right tackle. And my next question is, who else is it going to be? You know, who else do you feel more confident at that position? Do I feel great about Dylan Raidens, you know, being the starting right tackle? Not really. But I also look at the rest of this offensive line room. I don't know who else would be kind of, you know, dominant in that position. I look at Aaron Brewer probably at that left guard position. I think it's kind of a revolving door at this point at training camp. And I don't know if it was Mike Vrabel that mentioned it yesterday, but that offensive line position as a whole, the left guard position, the right tackle position, there's still a competition going on. So, you know, we see Aaron Brewer probably in contention for that left guard position. For me, it's kind of a question mark. But right now, where it stands, I would say that Dylan Raidens is most likely your right tackle.
You know, perks of being the suit. I get the grid of what Jarrett and Caroline are going to do. Apparently, Jarrett.
Peek behind the curtain, if you will.
Yeah, apparently, Jarrett thinks Aaron Brewer is not fat enough. So, you know, he's good.
Some guys are too fat. Some guys aren't fat enough. I thought we were done with the seat conversations, but clearly, no, we're not.
But we'll be looking forward to hearing that starting at 2 o'clock. Caroline, thanks so much for stopping by. And football is here.
Football, baby.
Yes,
I appreciate
absolutely.
Y'all.
Caroline Fenton, one half of Stillman and Company, weekdays 2 to 6. Here on 102.5, 106.3, the day, the game, the day, the game,
the whatever. Day, the day.
Willie,
today is the game.
Yeah, Willie has some numbers on Nick Westbrook Aquina. We will talk about that coming up next on 102.5, 106.3, the game. We are your racing station, 102.5, 106.3, the game is Nashville's home for NASCAR. Tune in this Sunday at 12:30. For the Verizon 200 from the Brickyard. You can also join me every Sunday morning at 8 for Chasing Checkers. I'll talk to some of the drivers and get you set for race weekend. NASCAR 102.5 and 106.3 The Game is presented by the Nashville Fairgrounds Speedway. Going to talk to Jeff Burton from NASCAR and NBC this week on the show. Chase Willey and D-Mace out at Titans training camp. And before we get to NWI, we were talking a little bit about, and Teron stopped by. Derek, you say you could go 10 reps
you
against
give me
Christian
10 reps.
Fulton one-on-one.
Yes.
Henry on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, says, Dr. Elrod, line one after these 10 reps.
That's why I told you I have to get a really good stretch, more importantly, the hamstrings and Achilles. But TD was right, man. You know, As athletes, we think, you know, if I continue to work out, which I have been, and continue to condition myself, which I have been, no way near to what I was when I was playing. But you always think, like, man, I could still do it. But then once you get out there, that disconnect with your brain and your legs is like, okay, stop. Your brain, and your brain says stop, but your legs keep going.
Yeah.
Or the legs can't come out of the break. It happened to me when I was racing my son a few years ago. Thought I still had it. And I raced DJ. And Bailey said go. And I couldn't move for a quick second, and DJ just dusted me twice. That's when I said, yeah, I never race this kid again.
No, you're done.
Exactly.
You're done. And see, I would feel bad. Like, I get you, you know, we get this set up, and I get you out there, and then I just see you go down grab.
I wouldn't disappoint. I wouldn't disappoint, believe me.
Oh, I know. That fire is still there. That's the thing.
Because I know how to gauge my body. It's not like I just come out like a bullet. You know, I know how to gauge my body, and it may look like I'm running fast, but I'm not running fast. It's all about balance.
Well, and the worst part would be, you know, they put you out there against, I won't say Christian Fulton, but they put you out against somebody, and you toast them, and then the next day we get a release, so-and-so has been released.
Yeah,
that would not be good.
Yeah, we do have to think of the big picture.
Yes, yes. Let's think of the big picture here, fellas.
But you have some numbers on Nick Westbrook-Akina. As he has been out there with the ones, you know, getting a lot of reps from Ryan Tannehill. But, you know, being realistic, he's probably going to slot in as maybe the third receiver on this team. Had a nice year last year, but you have some underlying numbers that pop out.
Yeah, I took a look at Football Outsiders, and this is always a conversation that happens, especially this time of the year. And as we've said a lot, Mike Vrabel, over time, he gets less concerned about what round you were picked in and all that stuff. It's can you get the job? Or can you get the job done? Nick Westbrook-Akina was an undrafted free agent. So relative to other undrafted free agents at the position, he really made a nice jump. Remember, that last year was his second year. He only caught three passes his first year. I mean, he was lucky to make the team and get on the field. But last year he was a serviceable guy who ended up getting a ton of playing time because of the whole situation with Julio Jones and, to a lesser degree, but still it was important, A.J. Brown. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do this segment with the longtime training camp tradition of doing a segment after practice is over with the lawnmower going.
Absolutely.
And so here it comes. It's coming right at us right now. So get ready. We will talk over this. Ignore it. Yesterday, Mike Vrabel got a little distracted by the mower going for his opening press conference.
And he did. He did not like that.
He didn't like that at all. In fact, I don't know if it was a mower. It might have been a leaf blower or something that was going on. But Nick Westbrook-Akina last year, 38 catches, 476, and four touchdowns. 67% catch rate, pretty darn good. Mm-hmm. Overall, his efficiency was above average. And this is an important point I want to hit you with, D-Mace. He was above average as a utility guy in the slot and on the outside. So it wasn't like he had to be in one particular place to be effective. So the versatility is something you really like, which could come in handy this year, depending on where they want to use Robert Woods, who's been a really good slot guy before, and Treylon Burks as they try to figure out where's the best place to put him onto the field. So the ability for Nick Westbrook-Akina to play, as you were saying, the X position, the Z position, you know, the different – that's how you get on the field,
H,
right?
Yeah, the Y, yeah. That's how you get on the field. The more you can do – the longer you stay around, you need to be, you know, you want to master the position that they put you in, but you also want to be a jack of those other trades as well. You know, if they need to slide me in inside, they can slide me in inside. If I need to be, you know, over at the X, they can put me at the X if I'm normally a Y, I mean a Z. I believe as a wide receiver, you need to know every wide receiver position, because you never know. We can be in 2 minutes. You know, in 2 minutes, we were taught, stay on the side of the field you were on. The side of the field we start in 2 minutes, stay on it, because you don't have time to go back and forth. And what happens? One play you may be an X, one play you may be a Z. You just never know. So you got to know what everybody does on every play.
So with that in mind, the expectation level of him going into year three is an interesting one, because is he going to get another level up? How much are they going to have to use him? You figure he's going to be in there a lot based on everything we see. Unless somebody like a Des Fitzpatrick makes a big, big jump, or Racy McMath or some of these other guys that are competing, he's going to be a reliable guy. So here are the projections that Football Outsider has for him. And it's interesting. Last year, remember, 38 catches. This year, they project 33 catches. Last year, 57 targets. This year, they project 52 targets. And you didn't hear this the first day we did this, Chase, because you weren't on with us, but they call the projections in Football Outsiders the Kubiak projections, that all the letters stand for something. I don't even know what they all mean, but that is the – that's what the numbers spit out. Well, and that's sort of the running joke, right? It has to do with – it's the reference. It's a double entendre there, I guess, but 63%. So they're basically saying he is what he is, that he is basically a number three. He's a very good player for an undrafted free agent, but don't expect a big jump. You guys buy that? About 12 yards a catch, four touchdowns, you know, between 400 or 500 yards.
I don't think
it's hard to answer.
To me, it whether the jump or not isn't so much so on his ability to play the position, because he's shown the ability to play the position. It's more so of how this offense is going to be ran, because they don't have a AJ Brown anymore. They're still trying to, you know, figure out the offensive line situation. They got to figure out how do we implement Hooper into, you know, what we're doing. Derrick Henry in the backfield, and then Hassan Haskins, another guy that's proven in college he can catch the ball out of the backfield. So we got to get all of these guys implemented within the offense. And it may mean less targets for Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but that has nothing to do with his talent. Now, if they get going and this kid is progressing and he's catching everything, then they're going to throw him more balls. That's just the way it is. Ryan Tannehill will feel more comfortable with him, especially on third down. So I don't think it has a lot to do with his ability to be able to play the game. It's more so what type of offense are we in. Because if he's in offense like, you know, the Rams or, you know, Tampa or one of these teams that throw the football a lot, then he's going to have more opportunities to catch the ball.
No question, and that is something to always keep in mind, that if things go the way that they want to do it, the Titans will throw the ball a lot less than a lot of these teams that you're talking about here. So you put that in perspective and you look more at efficiency. So, Chase, what do you think about those projections?
I think that they're spot on, because of all the guys you just named, I think Chigakonkwo is going to be factored in there too. Mm-hmm. And I'm convinced that there is, in this receiver group, likely with the guys like a Des Fitzpatrick, Racy McMath, maybe a Josh Malone, maybe the kid out of UCLA that they drafted.
Kyle Phillips.
One of those guys is going to emerge and take some reps away from everyone.
Do you think from him, though? I mean, that's the thing. Is he clearly the three above all those other guys? That's an important question.
Right now, I'd say yeah, but I think that you look at this receiver group, and it's full of potential. Now, potential can mean a lot of things. But if one of those guys kind of breaks out, and, you know, Josh Malone was the OTA darling. You know, is he going to be the training camp darling? We'll find out. But I think those numbers are probably spot on, just because they're not going to throw the ball as much, and you're not going to have as many passes.
Yep, and how much do they have to use him? That's another thing that goes into it. If the other guys aren't available or hurt, he's got to play more, which is what happened last year. But to his credit, he was pretty solid. He was better than average.
All right, this is what we're going to do. Ask D-Mace, and on the line, a pair of tickets to see Elton John at Nissan Stadium coming up on October 2nd. But you must participate by asking Derek a question. The best question is going to win these tickets to see Elton John. 615-737-1025. You must call in. You must go on the air and ask this 15-year NFL veteran wide receiver a really good question about the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next, 615-737-1025. But first, Willie, tell us about Loan Pronto.
All right, Loan Pronto, they've got some things that you are, I'm sure, very interested in. If you've been looking at your finances and trying to plot out what is my next move, I've got some bills to pay. These economic times are not the best. So with your home's value up, if you're a homeowner, you are sitting on a pile of money. You may not realize it, and you don't have to just let it sit there. Talk to Loan Pronto about an equity line of credit program. you don't have to refinance, but you can access up to 97% of your home's value. So you can get the cash out that you need to pay off, say, the credit card bills or other bills that are piling up, a home improvement project that you've been thinking about and wondering where do you get the funds to reinvest in your home, make it more valuable, get a down payment for a new home if that's what you're looking for, or just pay off a car loan or something like that. You're stashing away for a safety net. You can get $50,000, $100,000 or more out of your home, and the payments are crazy low. So call Loan Pronto. They make unlocking that home's equity easy. They can probably even waive the appraisal. So don't let all that money pile up in your home's equity. Use it to your advantage. Call Loan Pronto now, 615-499-5780. That's 615-499-5780, or go to loanpronto.com. Equal housing lender, NMLS 166-1781, subject to lender approval.
Chase, Willie, and D-Mace live at Titans training camp. 615-737-1025. You can ask Derek a question, and the best question will win a pair of tickets to see Elton John at Nissan Stadium on Sunday, October 2nd. That falls, I think, on you and me, Willie, that we have to be the judges here.
Yeah, because I'm not going to. Yeah,
it's
I'm
a tough
not
job.
You're just
I'm not going to pick. Yeah, I'm just answering.
And I can tell you what my criteria is. I want some creativity. I want some insightfulness. You know, let's throw a little effort into it, right?
Hey, man, listen, I'm just here, so I won't get fined, man.
Yeah.
I'm just answering the question, so I won't get fined.
You don't want to be that caller that just calls in and says, yeah, I heard you guys were giving away tickets. You know, you don't want to be that guy. You want to be that guy that says, hey, I got a good question for D-Mace. I want to ask him about football. I want to ask him about the Titans. I got to talk to D-Mace. That enthusiasm, that's going to make a difference for me. Make a difference.
All right, 615-737-1025.
You're not going to reveal your criteria at all as a judge?
Yeah, just don't suck.
Yeah, there we go.
Short and simple, okay.
Let's go to James. James, you're first up on Ask D-Mace.
Well, first of all, my calls are always pithy and always to the point. That being said, I want to welcome we wish you both, all three of you all, good afternoon. And D-Mace, you know the saying, you can't change the wheel. Wheel's already been invented. However, that being said, you and I both know, and everybody in that studio knows, that in football, football is very cyclical and things do evolve. Now, let me give you a good example of that. We know the running back position is not quite as important as it was 20 years ago. The passing game has become more prolific, where the quarterback and the wide receivers are a bit more and taken a lot higher in the draft than they were 20 years ago. Now, my question to you is, as we've witnessed the college game change and evolve into much more of a high passing and the playbook, how much has college football's playbook when it comes to the passing game and throwing the ball a lot more and sling it downfield, how much of that has influenced offensive coordinators and head coaches and how they scheme on Sunday afternoons now? And I'll hang up and listen. Love the show.
Thanks, James.
Thanks for the question. I mean, it's evident. You see whether it's, five wides, whether it's these quick screens, just getting into the receiver's hands, whether it's these sweeps, wide receiver sweeps, different packages that you see now. All of this derived from college football, because college football is so wide open that it's so hard for defenses. Once teams get you spread out, it's so hard for defenses to cover because in college they make you cover 52 yards from sideline to sideline and 100 yards or 110 yards from goal line to goal line and goal post to goal post. In the NFL for a long time, it wasn't like that. Everything was compacted. Now they are, what they're doing now, because the quarterbacks have changed. No longer do you have these stiff, just drop back quarterbacks. You have quarterbacks that can do so many things now that it almost forces us to open up to more of a college game. That's what you see in the NFL. A lot of things and a lot of stuff that these guys are running now derived from college football, and what they saw or was seeing in college football that was working, now they're implementing it in what they do as a NFL coordinator.
All right.
A good start. That was
very,
a very good start. Okay.
A very good start. And if we keep this going, we'll do two segments. Mm-hmm. Devin, You are up next on Ask D-Mace.
I heard you guys giving away some tickets.
Well done. That's good comic relief. You score well with the judges on that.
All right, so my question for D-Mace is I believe the Titans took a small step back this year with the off season, but in the I think they made a lot of long-term plans with a quarterback, a receiver, and a running back. So to what degree does he agree with me on that?
Thanks, Devin. I appreciate it. I do agree that, you know, they did take from a personnel standpoint, you did take a step, sort of a small step backwards. I mean, anytime you lose A.J. Brown on your offense, you're taking a step back. Anytime you lose Roger Saffold on your offensive line, you're taking sort of a step back. But you're right. They are making long-term plans as well. You know, eventually Ryan Tannehill will not be the quarterback with the Tennessee Titans anymore. So what do? We go out and we draft a quarterback that we can develop, that has the skill set that we can develop. And Vrabel talks a lot about, hey, listen, I don't want to talk about the talent. It's there. I like coaching these guys and developing these guys because talent without development is nothing. I got to have both. And he understands that. Running back situation, same thing. Hassan Haskins. We need somebody for the future. We don't know how much longer Derrick Henry can play at this level. But we need a guy that if Derrick needs a spell, needs a quarter off, then we could throw Hassan Haskins in the backfield and not truly miss a beat in regards to how we call our plays during the game.
615-737-1025. Scott, welcome in to Ask D-Mace.
Hey, D-Mace. Hey, I'm going to officially dub you as Tiny Dancer since we're giving away tickets for Elton John. That's your name.
That's good.
So listen, Tiny Dancer, here's my question.
Go ahead.
So my question is, back, you know, 10, 15, 20 years ago, how did they teach kids coming out of college to be professionals? And I don't mean on the field. I'm saying off the field. Compared to now, these kids are coming out with no – you know, you can't talk to the person down the street. I mean, there's no verbal communications, and yet they're throwing people, you know, in front of video cameras. How does a pro team teach a kid how to become a professional in front of the camera and how to handle themselves in front of the media personnel?
I think a lot of it, the NFL, and thank you for the question, I think first it starts in college. I think these universities and these programs or these organizations, let's say that, because truly that's what they are, organizations now. They've done a good job at making these young men accessible. And social media helps as well because it allows these young men to get on camera, men and women to get on camera in their comfort zone. And they're able to, you know, because doing an interview is all about comfort. If I feel comfortable with doing an interview, then it typically goes well. If I don't feel comfortable, then the interview is not going to go as well as it should have. So colleges are doing a great job at coaching up these men and women. And then once you get drafted and get on the team, the NFL has done a really good job with these rookie symposiums, bringing people in during the year, at talking to these guys how to approach, you know, how to do an interview or ask a question. I can recall going to, you know, someone coming in and telling us, hey, listen, you got to understand, as the guy that's being interviewed, the interview is all about you. So you got to take your time with answering the questions. Don't think because they ask a question that you got to necessarily get them an immediate answer. Think about what you're going to say. Listen to what they're saying, because a lot of times we listen and also trying to formulate our answer as we're listening, and we totally miss something in there. Listen to what they're saying and then answer it, you know, in a manner that you feel comfortable. You don't have to rush to answer it, because that interview is all about you. It's not about them. It's about you, and that's what you got to – and if you don't want to answer a question,
then don't.
You don't have to answer it.
Jeffrey Simmons did a good job of that today.
You don't have to answer it. Yeah. So that's how things have gotten a lot better now.
615-737-1025. On the line, a pair of tickets to see Elton John at Nissan Stadium October 2nd. Good questions so far. We'll take another slate of questions coming up next. 615-737-1025. 1025. Join 1025 and 1063 The Game and Newton Motor Group this summer to help kids in Middle Tennessee as we team up with Souls for Souls once again to provide shoes to children experiencing homelessness in Nashville and the surrounding area. School's coming back. All right, this is the time to do it. We're taking donations to provide shoes for children in need this school year, but we need your help. So what you need to do is go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. Any little bit helps. You can help Souls for Souls buy a pair of shoes for these kids. All donations will go directly to Souls for Souls to give these shoes to the children in Middle Tennessee. Go to thegamenashville.com/shoes. Newton Motor Group is a proud sponsor of Souls for Music City. Newton Motor Group, the best car deals in Nashville. Start at Newton. Back here at 1025, 1063, The Game. Chase Willie and T-Mace. Predators coming out for the third period. what I feel like every time I hear this. We're live at Titans training camp today playing Ask T-Mace. The best question to Derek Mason will win a pair of tickets to see Elton John on October 2nd at Nissan Stadium. This is a feature we are bringing to the show. You remember Ask the GM with Floyd Reese? It was fantastic. We're going to do the same with D-Mace now that he is back with us. 615-737-1025. Let's go to Al. Al, welcome in to Ask D-Mace.
D-Mace, it's a pleasure. For quick context, I'm an old school PSL founding father. Mm-hmm. Been traveling, following you guys since the very beginning, 1997. I'm an avid, I would hit Eddie for an autograph, you name it, Frank, et cetera, et cetera. And one of my favorite autographs happened organically. I was at the Oakland game, of course, at in Memphis, and I just happened to be staying at the Sheraton, and all of a sudden, big people started sitting around in the lobby, and I started recognizing faces. So I just sat there, I waited, and Steve was sitting there, of course, Steve McNair. And I just ran to the front desk. I had nothing on me. I ran to the front desk, grabbed a piece of paper with the Sheraton letterhead, and, you know, gave him his space, waited, and just got, that was my first autograph from a Titans player. So here's my point of all this. And then all of a sudden, 2000 came along. This skinny kid from Mumford High School had a hell of a year. Number 85, Derek Mason. And I think you only played about 10, or started 10 games, Derek, but you had great numbers, you know, you were on the scene, et cetera. So I started chasing you down for an autograph. You know, like I said, I'm the Titans guy, PSL. You were as elusive to catch with an autograph as you were on the field, pun intended, but I finally got one at a charity event where I bid it and got one. I got the COA signed by Jeff Diamond, et cetera. So long story, sorry, Derek. Of all the Titans players since 1997, since you came on the scene, what is your most cherished piece of memorabilia or autograph from a Titans player? And please expound on as to why. And, man, hey, and good luck on the HOF, my friend. And I'll
thank
hang
you.
Up. And...
Thank you.
Thanks,
It has to be, obviously, the answer for me is Steve McNair. Because of, you know, everything that happened, and he was just a good friend. In getting to know him off the field, and his family off the field. So that is one that I would cherish. And I remember after his passing, someone, and I forgot who it was, someone had a jersey of Steve McNair's, and they gave it to me, like an old jersey, an old practice jersey of Steve McNair's, a red one. And they gave it to me after.
Cool.
Yeah, and I thought that was really cool of them.
That was after he died?
And I still have that jersey to this day. And, you know, I would never give it up. So that was one. And just, you know, Bruce Matthews, Mike Munchak, you know, two Hall of Famers, man. That I was fortunate enough to play with Bruce and was here while Munch was coaching. And then once they got inducted, or right before they got inducted to the Hall of Fame, I got cleats signed by Bruce Matthews because I knew Bruce was going to make the Hall of Fame.
Sure.
So I got cleats signed by him, helmet signed by he and Mike Munchak. So those are things that I will cherish. And, of course, Eddie, it's the same. I mean, former Heisman Trophy winner, you know, AP Rookie of the Year, you know, one of he is the best running back in Titan history, and probably the only second behind Earl Campbell in Titan, you know, Oiler Titan history. So that's
for now.
Yeah, for now, Derrick Henry is right behind all three, both of them. Henry is right behind both of them.
He's making an argument to be ahead of him.
Yeah.
And that's a good thing. 615-737-1025. Joe, welcome in to Ask D-Mace.
Hey, D-Mace. It's good to talk to you, man. I'm going to preface this by saying this is the second time I've ever called. I called back Robin Rex Road a year ago and sang a cappella to try to win Garth Brooks tickets, and I won them, and then that show got rained out.
So, I was there.
I'm hoping my luck's better this time. But, so this being with Elton John tickets, and I'm getting to talk to one of the greatest Titans wide receivers of all time, I wanted to talk about a comparison and maybe a prediction of two wide receivers. I was thinking about going with total yards, but I'm going to say goodbye to that yellow brick road, and I'm going to go with the comparison of Treylon Burks and Julio Jones down in Tampa. Who do you think this year, given the systems that they're in, who do you think will have the most touchdown receptions? I'll hang up and listen, and it's good to talk to you, man.
The judges did hear the yellow brick road comment as well, just to throw that out there. That was duly noted.
There's a lot of variables here, a lot of things that you need to take into account. Will Treylon Burks be the starter day one? You know, meaning when the season starts, will he be that guy alongside Robert Woods? Will Julio Jones be able to, you know, pick up the offense and get going? But based upon, you know, where I think those two guys project, I believe that Treylon will be the starter. I believe Julio would be the third receiver or fourth. And with that being said, touchdown-wise, I think Treylon will have more touchdowns than Julio. Now, I'm not saying what the touchdown number is. I'm just saying I think he will have more touchdowns.
If he has two, he'll have more than Julio.
Yeah. No, he's talking about this year. He's talking about this year.
Well, yeah, he's saying looking for a projection.
Yeah, who will have more touchdowns this year? And it could be Treylon Burks has six and Julio has five or four. So, but I don't know the exact number, but I think Treylon will have more.
Okay. 615-737-1025. Elton John tickets on the line. Let's go to Evan. Evan, welcome in to Ask D-Mace.
Hey, what's going on, fellas? D-Mace, with Kyler Murray getting treated like a high school kid on academic probation with study hall out in Glendale, I got to know, man, do you have any wild stories about contract stipulations from players that needed a little extra to get the performance out of them they needed? And you don't got to name names, spill the tea, but I'm sure you got to have something. I appreciate it, guys.
Thank you. I know there were stipulations in contract in regards to weight. You know, and that's always, especially with the offensive lineman or defensive lineman, there is a stipulation, hey, listen, you need to come in shape and ready to go. So I have heard of those, but I haven't heard of anything near, you know, and I'm pretty sure Antonio Brown had a bunch of stipulations in his contract. It was a walking stipulation. But I've never heard anything this like comical and egregious that I got to put a stipulation that you must watch film at least 4 hours a day outside of the football building. I've never heard of that. Like, it's your job to watch film. You need to watch film. You're the quarterback of the Arizona Cardinals, and I got to put a stipulation in there that states you must watch at least 4 hours of film. 4 hours of film is nothing for a quarterback. That's nothing. Yeah. So that's comical. But no, I have not heard or seen anything that comical.
All right. One more quickly. Seth, welcome in to Ask D-Mace.
All right, Derek. I want to know what are your favorite memories or best games that you can remember playing against Ben Roethlisberger and against the Jets? Benny and the Jets.
The Jets.
Oh, I see what you did there.
Benny and the Jets. I get it. Ben Roethlisberger, he wasn't here. He wasn't a quarterback the year that the whole Joe Nedney. Yeah, Ben
that was Tommy Maddox.
Yeah, Ben was the quarterback, you know, when I went to Baltimore. And
a lot of battles
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we had a lot of battles. But the most memorable one was, you know, we had them up, I think, 17 in this AFC Championship game, I believe. We had them up 17-7, something like that. And we had all the momentum going. And, you know, they end up coming back, but we just was going back and forth. And I recall a 4th and 20. 4th and 20. They spread out in 4 wides. Big Ben gets the ball and does what Big Ben do. He completed a 4th and 20 down the sideline.
To who? Do you remember who?
Antonio Brown.
It was AB?
It was a young AB, too, before he kind of blew up.
Yeah.
4th and 20. It's just like Big Ben does it again, you know. And it's just, you know, it's memorable moments like that that you always think about when you think about the Pittsburgh Steelers and Big Ben. Now, like, the Jets, there's no memorable moments. I played for those. It was horrible. It was horrible. The Jets were horrible, man. Never had any memorable games, whether it be – here or, you know, when I played in Baltimore.
All right. We will unveil the winner coming up next.
Benny
the judges,
and the Jets,
the judges are going to deliberate.
Uh-huh.
And come
we need
up
some
with
deliberation. This was a good segment.
Yes, very good
I
participation.
I think this has got potential here.
Very good participation. We'll award the Elton John tickets. Coming up next here on Chase Willie and D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.